eyes narrow. "When can I see you, then? There's much to talk about, Henry. How about breakfast tomorrow?"
Henry shakes his head.
"I don't eat breakfast. Since I was discharged, I make it a point not to rise before noon."
Nicholas rolls his eyes.
"Lunch, then?"
Henry pauses, then nods.
"All right, Nicky. Lunch it is."
He turns his head, looking into the crowd.
"I have to go. There's a gorgeous little piece I promised to trade costumes with."
And he points to a redhead in a Little Mermaid getup. Nicholas grasps his brother's shoulder like he doesn't want to let go.
"Until tomorrow."
Henry pats his brother's back and nods to me, then disappears into the crowd. In the limo, on the way back to the hotel, Nicholas is quiet, the sound of the pelting rain and occasional thunder filling the silence.
"Are you okay?"
I ask. He rubs his lower lip with his finger, thinking.
"He looks awful. Like he's haunted, being hunted, hiding from something."
I don't want to tell him it will be all right. That's too flippant, too easy. So I give him the only thing I think will help, a hug. While the rain smacks against the windowpane outside, Nicholas thrusts into me from behind, long and slow. His thighs are spread, bracketing my closed ones. I feel them tighten each time he pushes forward, pressing his chest against my back, his pelvis against my backside, like he can't stroke deep enough. But then, suddenly, he pulls out of me and the bed jostles as he straightens, rising up on his knees behind me. He taps my back with his wet cock.
"Roll over, love."
My languid limbs do his bidding without question, and I watch as Nicholas strokes his fist up his thick hardness. Taking the condom off and tossing it over the edge of the bed to the floor, he's very careful about the condoms. I started birth control a few weeks ago, and even though it's definitely effective now, he still uses them every time. Nicholas taps against me with his erection, this time my stomach. Then he shifts up my torso, keeping most of his weight on his knees. And his eyes, God, his eyes smolder with lust, burn bright even in the dim light of the room, gazing down at me, planning his next move. I don't have to wonder long what that move will be. Nicholas cups my breast in each large hand, and a bolt of tingling sensation streaks a path to my pelvis. He pinches my nipples and I moan loudly, arching my back for more. I feel him shift above me, then his cock slides against my sternum. Oh, God, I've never done this before. But I want it, with him. I want to watch his hips piston, feel the thick heat of his cum on my chest, hear his groans of pleasure. And a moment later, Nicholas gives me everything I want. He presses my breasts around his cock, gentle at first, then tighter, harder, like he's barely holding on to his control. I open my eyes because I have to see. I need to keep this picture in my mind forever. It's the hottest, most erotic image. His chiseled body moves faster, glistening with a fine sheen. His fingers dig into my flesh, and little growls escape from deep within his throat. His eyes are the deepest green, hooded by those long, pitch-black lashes. They flare wide when my hands cover his, taking over for him. I don't want him to hold back. I want him to move, to grind on me, take everything. My hands push my breasts closer, tighter around the slick cock slipping between them. He grips the headboard and it shakes when he uses it for leverage as he fucks my chest. His jaw is clenched and his brow is soaked with sweat. Little drops fall on my collarbone, surprisingly cold compared to the slide of his heated skin. A burst of air puffs from his perfect lips. Air and the sound of my name. Falling, begging, demanding.
Olivia. Fuck, Olivia.
I've never seen anything more amazing, more intense, than this man moving above me, making love to me in this dirty, thrilling way, giving us both more pleasure than I've ever known. The headboard beats against the wall once, twice, Then Nicholas's back arches and his head tilts back and he roars. His cum, warm and thick, splashes across my chest, trickling down my neck, mixing with my own perspiration. The moment his beautiful dick stops pulsing, Nicholas stretches out on top of me, covering my body with his, pressing us together, taking my face in his hands and kissing me wildly. It's sticky and messy and perfect. Later that night, there's a knock at the door, waking us both from a sound sleep. I don't know what time it is, but it's still dark outside and the rain has stopped. Nicholas slips into his robe and opens the door. Logan stands on the other side. His face is lined with worry.
Sorry to disturb you, Your Grace, but you're gonna want to see this.
He picks up the television remote from the nightstand and turns on the news. I squint against the blaring light, and it takes me a few seconds to focus, but when I do... Holy shit!
Son of a bitch!
Nicholas curses, because he sees it too. His brother, Henry, is being led into the police station in handcuffs, and the banner at the bottom of the screen reads, Prince Henry and Entourage Arrested.
Chapter 14. Nicholas. Cousin Marcus is an imbecile. Cousin Marcus is an imbecile. I forced the thought to repeat in my head, as a reminder that I can't kill my brother when I see him. Wesco needs a backup plan, and regardless of his most recent antics, Henry's still our best option. What a fucking cock-up. It's almost 3 in the morning when we reach the police station. Olivia yawns next to me, her hair wild, looking beautifully, wearily rumpled in a sweatshirt and denim shorts. Thankfully, there's a back entrance to the station, because the front is already mobbed. The arrest of a royal is big news, particularly in America, where the only thing they like more than building their celebrities up is tearing them down. I shake hands with a burly, grey-haired officer who regards me with coarse sympathy.
Follow me.
He leads us down a corridor, through 2 barred gates that opened with a buzz, then into a cubicle area with a desk and a younger-looking officer stationed there. Down the hall are bar-lined doors on the left and the right, holding cells. I hear the distinct sound of my brother's voice. He's singing.
Nobody knows the trouble I'm in. Nobody knows till tomorrow.
Cousin Marcus is an imbecile. 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 And Louis Armstrong is rolling in his grave. The younger officer gives me some forms to sign.
The rest of the paperwork will be sent to the embassy, he says.
Thank you, I tell him tightly. And then Henry is brought in. He's drunk, unsteady on his feet, his hair in need of a cuss and a comb. And I war between concern and condemnation. What the fuck is wrong with him? He zeroes in on Olivia with a stupid smile.
Olive, you're still here. I'm so glad. You can help me walk. I'm having a bit of trouble managing at the moment.
Then he flings his arms around her, almost making her knees buckle. I yank him away from her and toss him to Logan. Help him walk. Then I warn, behave yourself, or you'll be wheeled out on a stretcher when I'm done with you. He makes a face, mimicking my words like an 8-year-old, and my hand literally twitches to smack him. But I don't, because we're in public, and while he has zero respect for his position in the world, I do. Princes get the piss beaten out of them in private. But I can't stop myself from hissing.
Cocaine, Henry. Is that why you're such a disaster? That what you're into these days?
It was found in the car he was traveling in, without security, with several friends, when they were pulled over for driving erratically. He stands with Logan's assistance, and his bleary eyes rise to mine.
No, he scoffs. I wouldn't touch the stuff. I'm high on life.
He rubs his forehead.
It was Damien Clutterbuck's. I met up with him while he was on holiday in Vegas, and he came to New York with me. I didn't know he had it on him. He's a...
His brow crinkles as he looks to Olivia.
What's the word again? Pits. Pats.
Putts? Olivia suggests. Henry snaps his fingers.
That's the one. Damien's a putt. You're a putt.
I lean down over him.
You're being deported. Oh, well. Thank God for diplomatic immunity, then.
He shrugs.
I was thinking of visiting Amsterdam, anyway. Oh, no, little brother.
I warn him.
You're going home. If I have to tie you like a hog and box you up in a crate to get you there, it's the only place you're going.
He inhales deeply, like he's about to announce something profound. But all he comes out with is,
You're very cranky, Nicholas.
I rub my eyes and shake my head.
Shut up, Henry.
And then we head out the way we came in. Because of the time, I take Olivia home before I deal with Henry. We park around the back just in case, although since the NYPD has been assisting us, the crowds outside Amelia's have been smaller. I walk her in, and Henry insists on tagging along. I suggest locking him in the trunk, but Olivia, sweethearted as she is, overrules me. And it looks like tonight is the night for little brothers and sisters. Because when we walk into the kitchen from the alley, we find Ellie Hammond covered head to toe in flour and sugar. Her hair looks like a powdered wig from the revolutionary period, and Pressure by Billy Joel plays so loud in her earbuds we can hear it across the room. She bounces and sings to the music, tossing white powder on the counter, and everywhere else. Then she turns around and screams loud enough to wake the dead.
Jesus Christ!
She yanks her earbuds out.
Don't do that to me! You took like 10 years off my life!
Olivia looks around the room, blinking.
What are you doing, Ellie?
The little blonde smiles proudly and lifts her chin.
I'm helping. I mean, I know I've been doing the afternoon shifts, but I figured all this time you've been doing all the morning prep by yourself. So I got Mom's recipes out, and figured I'd help with that, too. There's only a few months left until I leave for school.
Olivia's face goes soft and grateful.
Thank you, Ellie.
Then she looks around the disaster area again.
I think.
She engulfs the sugar-coated blonde in her arms.
I love you. I love you, too.
Ellie says into her shoulder. When she lifts her head, she spots my brother, leaning against the wall. With wide eyes, she shakes the flour from her hair, like a dog shuddering off water.
Oh my God, you're Prince Henry.
I am, pet. But the more important question is, who are you?
I'm Ellie.
My brother smiles salaciously.
Hello, Ellie.
She's a minor, I tell him. And the smile drops. He pats her head.
Goodbye, Ellie.
Henry turns around.
I'll go wait in the car, after all.
He yawns.
I could use a nap.
The moment we walk into the suite, Tommy descends on us.
The Queen's on the line. On Skype, Your Grace.
Anxiety rings in his voice, like the ping of a tapped crystal glass.
She's been waiting. She doesn't like to be kept waiting.
I nod briskly. Have David bring me a scotch.
Oh, me too,
Henry pipes up. He'll have coffee, I tell Tommy, and I think Henry sticks his tongue out at me behind my back. I head into the library, and he follows, seemingly marginally closer to sober. At least he's walking straight and unassisted now. I sit behind the desk and open the laptop. On the screen, my grandmother looks back at me, wearing a pale pink robe hair in rollers and a hairnet, grey eyes piercing, her expression as friendly as the Grim Reaper's. This should be fun.
Nicholas?
She greets me without emotion. Grandmother, I return, just as flat.
Granny!
Henry calls, like a child, coming around the desk into view. Then he proceeds to hug the computer and kiss the screen.
Mwah! Mwah! Henry! Oh, Hen!
My grandmother swats the air with her hands, like he's actually there kissing her. And I do my damnedest not to laugh at them.
Mwah! Henry, remember yourself! My gracious! Mwah!
He perches, grinning like a fool, on the arm of my chair, forcing me to shift over.
I'm sorry, Grandmother. It's just so good to see you.
She doesn't say anything at first, but peers closer at the screen. And I know she's seeing all the same things I see about him. Something close to worry pinches her lips.
You look tired, my boy.
I am, Your Majesty,
he says softly.
Very tired.
Then you'll come home so you can rest, yes?
Yes, ma'am,
he agrees. Then her voice goes sharp.
And I never want to hear a whisper about you and narcotics again. Do I make myself clear? I am very disappointed in you, Henry.
And he actually looks contrite.
It was a friend's, Granny, not mine. But it won't happen again.
See that it doesn't.
She turns her attention to me.
I'm sending the plane for you. I want you back at the palace in 24 hours.
My stomach plummets, and it feels like my throat is closing in on itself.
I have commitments here that... Break them,
she orders.
No, I won't do that,
I snap back, in a way I've never spoken to her in my life, in a way I would knock another man on his arse for speaking to my queen.
Forgive me, Your Majesty. It's been a long night.
I scrub my hand over my face.
I have commitments here that need to be handled delicately. I've made promises. I'll need a bit more time to tie things up.
She glares back like she can see right through me, and I have no doubt that she can. She's definitely heard all about Olivia by now, if not from the dark suits, then in the papers and online.
48 hours and not a minute more,
she says. A tone similar to the sound of a handler snapping the leash on his errant charge. My hands fist on the desk, out of view.
Very well.
After we say our pleasantries, we disconnect and I close the screen. I boil in silence until Henry speaks.
So, what's new?
And I smack him. Open-palmed and so hard the sound bounces off the walls. He reaches for the spot I'd struck.
Fuck! What the hell you do that for?
He jabs me with his elbow. I punch him in the ear, and the next thing I know we're rolling on the floor, cursing and pummeling each other.
Spoiled little fucker! Miserable bastard!
At some point during the scuffle, Logan pops his head in. Never mind. Then he backs out and closes the door. Eventually, we call a draw, both too bloody worn out to continue. We sit on the floor, breathing hard, leaning back against the wall. Henry tests his lip, where a trickle of blood drips.
You're really angry.
Yes, Henry, I really am. I was planning on staying the summer here in New York with Olivia. Thanks to your little stunt, I can't do that now. He looks confused.
I thought you said she was underage.
And I pray for patience. That was Ellie. Olivia is the dark-haired one.
Oh.
I feel him staring at me. You really like her, then?
Yes,
I agree, my voice rough and raw.
I do.
And when we leave, I'll never see her again.
But why not?
And it's only then that I remember how long he's been away. There's so much he doesn't know. I look my little brother in the face, and he does seem frighteningly tired. A lot's been happening. I'll explain tomorrow, after you've gotten a good night's sleep. I stand up, brush my trousers off, and straighten my collar. I'm going to see Olivia. I'll be back in a bit. Just as I reach the door, Henry calls my name. I turn around.
I'm sorry, Nicholas. I'm sorry that I ruined all your plans.
And the bracelets on my wrist seem to hug tighter. I walk back to him and crouch down. Then I roll up my sleeve, unclip the silver bracelet, and pull it in his upturned palm. Henry's eyes mist over as he looks at it.
You kept it safe for me.
Of course I did. I rest my forehead against his, squeezing the back of his head with my hand. It's good to have you back, Henry. Everything's going to be all right now. Yeah?
Yeah.
It's just after sunrise when I pull up to the back alley behind Amelia's, again. The sky is still pink and grey, and I know the sign in the front window still reads, closed. I walk through the now spotless kitchen and follow the sound of soft music to the dining area. Then I cross my arms, lean against the propped open doorway, and enjoy the show. Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers sing on the television, a song about islands and streams, and Olivia sweeps the floor with a broom, unaware of my presence. But she's not just sweeping. She's dancing. Arse shaking, hip swiveling, knee bending, gorgeous dancing. Occasionally sliding down and up the broomstick like it's a pole or a microphone. Christ, she's lovely. My lips stretch into a smile, and my cock goes so hard it's painful. Silently, I slip up behind her, wrapping my arms around her waist, making her squeak and the broomstick crack when it hits the floor. She turns in my arms, her hands locked around my neck, pressing against me, all warmth and goodness. I'm a much better partner than a broomstick. She arches her pelvis, pressing and rubbing against my erection.
And better endowed.
Olivia reaches up and kisses my mouth so sweetly.
How's Henry?
I stroke her hair and gaze at her face, feeling like a hole's opening up inside me, a barren, painful emptiness that's an echo of how it felt when they told me my mother was gone. I have to leave, Olivia. We have to go home. She stops dancing. Her delicate hands grasp me tighter, and her mouth narrows into a sad little bud.
When?
She asks in a soft voice.
2 days.
Her gaze touches my eyes, my lips, my jaw, as if she's committing them all to memory. Then she lowers her head, resting her cheek against my chest, right over my heartbeat. Dolly and Kenny sing about sailing away together, to another world.
That soon?
I press her closer.
Yes.
We start to rock together in time to the music. And suddenly the words just come out.
Come with me.
Olivia's head pops up.
What?
And the more I talk, the more brilliant the idea becomes. Spend the summer in Westco with me. You can stay in the palace.
The palace?
I'll take care of everything. I'll show you the city. It's beautiful, especially at night. It'll take your breath away. And I'll take you to the seaside. We'll swim naked in the waves and freeze our asses off. She laughs, and I'm laughing with her.
It'll be an adventure, Olivia.
I run my thumb across her cheek.
I'm not ready for this to be over yet. Are you?
She leans into my touch.
No. Then say yes. Come with me.
Consequences be damned. Her eyes are shiny with hope,
her cheeks flushed with excitement. She holds me close and tells me,
Nicholas, I can't.
Chapter 15. Olivia. It's not the answer he's expecting. It's not the one I want to give, but it's the only option. He holds me roughly, almost desperately. I want to, Nicholas. God, I want to. But I just can't leave. There's a crash from the kitchen, the harsh gong of metal pans hitting the floor, and then my little sister literally falls into the room. Oh, yes, you can! Ellie, what are you doing? She picks herself up. Eavesdropping? But that's beside the point. There's no way you're not going to freaking Wesco live for the summer in a palace. She spins around like she's in an imaginary ball gown. It's a once-in-a-lifetime chance, and you're not missing it. Not for me or for Dad or for this place. No way. I love my sister. No matter how much of a pain in the ass she can be, when it counts, her heart is golden all the way. But that doesn't change the fact that in this case, she's wrong. You still have weeks of school left. You can't run this place by yourself. She crosses her arms. Marty can be here when I'm not. Business is frigging rocking. Thanks to all the illicit publicity of your torrid royal affair, we can afford to pay Marty for the extra time. And we can finally hire a dishwasher. It's not just about running the coffee shop, Ellie. There's the books to keep. I can do that. Ordering supplies and stock. I can totally do that. Dealing with the vendors and delivery guys. I turn to Nicholas. Some of them are total assholes. I look back and forth between them. And a thousand other little things that you're too young and inexperienced to handle on your own. Ellie has no comeback for that, but she looks like she's about to cry, until Nicholas raises his finger.
I have someone who can handle it with her.
The next afternoon I'm in my room, packing, because I'm going to Wesco.
Forget butterflies.
There's a flock of sparrows flapping and swirling in my stomach, a strange brew of excitement and nervousness. I've never flown on a plane. I don't even have a passport, but Nicholas made some phone calls and got me an emergency one this morning. I've never even been on vacation, not counting the occasional weekend trips to the shore with my parents. And this isn't just any summer vacation. I'm going to another country with its prince to stay in a palace. Talk about holy fuck moments. This one's surreal. And still, it would all be perfect, except for one thing. My father, sitting on my bed, following my every move with a worried, disapproving, guilt-heavy expression.
I can't believe you're really doing this, Liv. It's insane. You don't even know this guy.
Defensiveness makes me jam my hairbrush into my duffel bag. I do know him. You met him once, too, though you probably don't remember.
I'd expect this kind of thing from your sister. She's always been flighty, but not you.
In goes my favorite nail polish, bras, and underwear, the rose and jasmine perfume Nicholas likes. Exactly! I've always been the responsible one, carrying the water, holding down the fort. And now I have the opportunity to do something amazing. I can't stave off the hurt that seeps into my voice. Why can't you be happy for me? His eyes, the same color as mine, cloud over.
We need you here. Your sister needs you. You can't push your responsibilities off on her.
Ellie will be fine. I've made arrangements. She'll have all the help she needs. Logan St. James and Tommy Sullivan, Nicholas's security man, are staying for the summer. Staying to watch over Ellie and the business, to make sure she's not taken advantage of, and help her in any way they can. Nicholas asked them to do it for him, as a personal favor, and they both agreed.
Tommy seems particularly eager to stay. The Brooklyn girls, he says, really like his accent.
I've seen for myself that they're good guys, and Nicholas trusts them, so I do too.
It's selfish,
my father bites out, standing up, and I almost fall over.
Selfish? That's rich, coming from you. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
My voice rises, and 9 years of resentment comes screaming out.
We loved her, too! You're not the only one who lost her! The day Mom died, Ellie and I lost both of you. You just checked out, Dad. Mom didn't have a choice, but you did.
He dips his head, not meeting my eyes.
This guy, Prince whatever he is, he's going to hurt you, Liv. When he leaves, and mark my words, he'll leave. It'll break you. I don't want to see that happen to my little girl.
I zip up my bag and throw it over my shoulder. I know exactly what I'm getting into with Nicholas. We're going to have something wonderful for as long as we can. And when it's over, I'll look back and I'll remember that there was something special and amazing in my life, even if only for a little while. And then I'll come back and life will go on. I turn at the door, looking in the eyes of the man who was my hero.
I won't break, Dad. I'm not you.
Down in the coffee shop, Nicholas waits by the door, while Ellie, Marty, Logan, and Tommy stand shoulder to shoulder along the wall. I approach Tommy and Logan first, touching both their arms. Thank you for doing this. I know it's not your job, but I appreciate it so much. Logan nods, his gaze steady.
Don't worry. We'll look after things here. We'll take care of her. And have fun in Wesco, Tommy says, smiling brightly. Maybe you'll like it enough to stay.
Logan shakes his head, exasperated, making me think he knows more than he lets on.
Shut up, Tommy.
I move to Ellie and Marty. Ellie flings her vibrating self at me.
I'm going to miss you, but I want you to do everything. Go everywhere.
I squeeze her as tight as I can, and my heart breaks just a little bit. I'm going to miss you, too. I know you can handle this, Ellie. You're going to do great. But be careful and listen to Marty and Logan and Tommy, okay?
I will.
Then Marty scoops me up, hugging me right off my feet.
Have the time of your life, girlfriend. And remember, pics or it didn't happen.
He gives me a dirty wink and tilts his head toward Nicholas.
Take all the pics.
I laugh and move toward the door, but a voice behind me freezes me in place.
Livy.
My father appears in the doorway. He walks up to me slowly, and then wraps his arms around me in a strong, solid hug. Just the way he used to, before. He kisses my temple and whispers in my ear,
I love you, honey.
And I feel the tears come and overflow. I love you too, Daddy. A moment later, I pull away. I hiccup and give him a smile. Then I walk to Nicholas's side. As we turn to leave, my father calls out,
Nicholas, you take care of her.
There's a distinct edge to his voice when he answers.
Yes, I will.
Then he takes my hand and leads me out the door. The tears are still flowing as I climb in the limo, where Henry is waiting.
Oh no, she's crying. I hate it when girls cry. What did you do, Nicholas?
Then he raises his glass, filled with amber-colored liquid and ice.
Don't cry, Olive. Drink.
In the seat beside me, Nicholas tugs me closer.
Are you all right, sweet?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm just really emotional. I wipe under my eyes. And I'm scared about the plane. Nicholas smiles, flashing his dimples.
You can hold on to my stick the whole time.
I giggle, and Henry makes a grossed-out sound.
Is that a sexual reference? Bloody hell, it's going to be a disgusting summer.
On the runway, outside the big, scary plane, Bridget, Nicholas's personal secretary, greets us. She reminds me of a favorite aunt, in a cheery violet suit, and with an attitude that's both playful and efficient.
Oh my,
she stutters when Nicholas first introduces me.
I didn't know you were bringing guests, Your Grace.
Then she recovers, or at least tries to.
The Queen will be quite surprised.
She gives my hand a firm, friendly shake.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Miss Hammond. If there's anything you need during your visit, please don't hesitate to ask.
I have a feeling taking my first flight on a private plane is going to ruin me for normal air travel forever. It reminds me of old Rose in Titanic when she said, The china had never been used. The sheets had never been slept in.
The interior of Royal One is all royal crests, creamy leather, and shining, polished wood. There are two fully appointed bedrooms in the back, and not just any bedrooms. These are beds fit for a queen, literally. There are also two marble bathrooms with showers. The main fuselage has a dark wood desk and a computer and phones, a long leather couch, and groups of four reclining seats that swivel around with gleaming wood tables in between. Two uniformed stewardesses are there to cater to our every whim, and they look like supermodels, both blonde and tall, with little navy caps perched on their heads. The pilot bows to Nicholas before he enters the cockpit, and I notice a change in Nicholas's demeanor, or maybe it's just a reaction to how the staff treat him, with supreme leader deference. Respect bordering on worship. He leads the way, and everyone else gladly follows. Takeoff is absolutely terrifying. I keep my eyes closed the entire time and choke down the urge to puke. It's a good thing I hold Nicholas's hand instead of his stick, because my grip is so strong I would have crushed it. And it's one of my favorite parts. In the air, after hot towels and cocktails, Nicholas asks Bridget about things at home, political things. Her eyes skirt briefly to me and then Henry, and I wonder if this is classified information. But then she tells Nicholas, "The Queen has doubled her efforts to persuade Parliament to pass the trade and jobs packages, but talks remain acrimonious. They want concessions." Henry sits up from the couch where he's lounged, plucking chords on a guitar. Nicholas told me once that Henry fancied himself the rock star royal.
"What kind of concessions?" the younger prince asks.
"Concessions from the Queen," Bridget says uncomfortably. "And the royal family."
2 years is a long time to be gone, Henry," Nicholas explains. "Things have changed since you were last home. Parliament has always been filled with a bunch of useless wankers," he scoffs.
Nicholas tilts his head.
"Now they're worse."
A little later, Bridget instructs me on protocol, how to greet and behave around the Queen, and the heir apparent.
"You'll have to be mindful of your interactions when you're in public. Everyone knows the princes. You'll be observed constantly. And we are a conservative country. No PDAs, as you young people call them."
"Huh. Sounds fun."
"We're not that conservative," Henry objects. "You and Nicholas will just have to find a nice shadowy nook to get your public freak on. Or, if you really need to stick your tongue down someone's throat, I'm always available."
Nicholas glares heatedly at his brother, who shrugs innocently.
"Just putting it out there."
Then his voice drops to whisper to me,
"No one cares what I do."
"Of course they care," Bridget consoles him.
"You just don't care that they care," Nicholas says dryly.
And Henry plays the intro of Stairway to Heaven on his guitar.
"One of the perks of being second-born."
It's just before sunset when the plane lands in Wesco. A warm breeze with a hint of ocean fills the cabin when the plane doors are opened. There's a carpet on the steps leading down to the tarmac. Purple, the color of royalty. Soldiers in full dress of red coats and shiny gold buttons and black boots gleaming in the fading sunlight line the path from the plane to the airport. Nicholas steps out first. I hear a deep, bellowing call to attention from an officer on the ground, and the snaps of hard heels against the stone pavement as the soldiers salute. I take a minute when I step out behind him to look, take it all in, so I'll remember. But then, as we get closer to the airport door, there's another sound, this one much more ominous. It's jeers and shouts, and it's coming from a crowd of people on the side of the building, cordoned off behind a fence. Some of them hold signs, and all of them look angry. And they're yelling and cursing at us. What starts as a roar of indecipherable disdain becomes more individualized as we get closer.
"I don't have a job, and you're flying about in a fucking private plane, bastards.
Fuck you! Fuck the monarchy!"
I stay close to Nicholas's back.
He reaches behind, holding out his hand without turning, searching for me. I take it, and he squeezes.
Stick it up your asses, boys, and your grandmother's, too.
Nicholas's back stiffens, but he keeps walking forward. Henry has an altogether different reaction. Though the security men try to keep him away from the fence, he swaggers right up to it and calls one of the men forward with a flick of his hand. Then Henry rears back and spits on him, and the world explodes. People scream, the fence rattles, soldiers close in around us, jostling and pushing us toward the door. Nicholas pulls me forward by my hand, tucking me safely under his arm as we're practically carried into the building. Inside, after the shouts are drowned out behind the closed door, Nicholas turns on his brother.
What the hell were you thinking? I'm not going to let them talk to us that way. You didn't do anything, Nicholas.
No, I didn't,
Nicholas shouts.
Because what I do matters. My words, my actions, have consequence. Spitting on people isn't going to win them over to our side.
Henry's green eyes flare and his cheeks are red with anger.
Fuck them. I don't need them on our side.
Nicholas rubs his eyes.
They're our people, Henry. Our subjects. They're angry because there aren't any jobs. They're terrified.
Henry glares at his brother, stubborn and unyielding.
Well, at least I did something.
Nicholas snorts.
Yes, you made it worse. Congratulations.
Taking my hand, he turns on his heel, telling James,
Olivia and I will ride alone in the first car. He can follow behind in the car with Bridget.
No one hesitates to follow the command. And that is our welcome to Wesco. In the limo, Nicholas pours himself a drink from the cool blue-lit minibar in the center console. He's all tense muscles and scowly jaw. I rub his shoulders.
Are you okay?
He scrapes out a sigh.
I will be. Sorry about that, love.
He plays with my hair.
This isn't how I wanted to bring you home.
I wave my hand. I grew up in New York, Nicholas. Protesters and crazy people on every corner. That was nothing. Don't worry about me. I want to bring the playfulness back into those eyes, that delicious, devious smirk to his beautiful lips. I think about sliding down to the floor between his knees and giving him a blowjob. But, to be honest, with the driver in front and his brother and so many staff members following behind us, I just don't have the guts to follow through. Instead, I squeeze up close to him, letting my boobs press against his arm. He kisses my forehead, breathing me in, and that seems to make him feel better. About an hour later, we pull onto the road that leads to the palace. Nicholas tells me to look out the window to see, and I'm gobsmacked. I've never used that word before. Gob. Gobsmacked. There was never a reason, but holy shit, there's a reason now. I've seen pictures of the castle, but seeing now is unreal. The massive stone building is lit from the bottom up. Practically 100 beams of light illuminate the facade. More windows than I can count dot the front, framed by a giant black and gold-trimmed iron gate. I can't see clearly from here, but there seem to be intricate etchings, statues, and carvings built into the stone. There's a lighted fountain in the center, shooting half as high as the castle itself. A tall, stately flagpole holds the waving burgundy and white Wesco flag. And flowers. Thousands, maybe millions of flowers surround the front and the sides, bursting with color even in the night.
It's a castle!
Yeah, not the most astute thing I've ever said. Nicholas just chuckles, so I grab his arm, shaking.
I don't think you understand. You live in a freaking castle.
Technically, it's a palace. Castles were built for defense. Palaces more for the monarch to hold court in appropriate grandeur.
And Jesus, I want to stick my tongue down his throat. Have I told you how hot it is when you roll out the royal facts? His eyes light up.
No, but it's good to know. I know things that will keep you perpetually wet and quivering.
As sexy as that response is, I just have to look back at the palace as we get closer.
It has a moat, Nicholas.
Yes, generally palaces don't. But my great-great-great-great-grandfather had it dug because he liked the look of it. I went swimming in it once when I was 11. Got strep throat. Lesson learned. But there is a lake in the back, so skinny dipping is definitely on the agenda.
How many rooms does it have?
587, not including the staff bedrooms.
He leans up and licks the shell of my ear, making the wet and quivering plan come to fruition. His next words almost make me come on the spot.
And I want to fuck you in every one of them by the end of the summer.
That's ambitious, I tease, nuzzling him. Do you plan on stopping to feed me?
His hand skims down my back, cradling my ass. You'll be well taken care of, I promise.
I promise. You know what that is?
Yep. Famous last words.
Chapter 16. Nicholas. My grandmother is a night owl. She requires only 3 to 4 hours of sleep. It's a common trait in leaders, captains of industry, top-notch executives, and psychopaths. So, although it's past the dinner hour, I know she'll want to receive us the moment we step through the palace door. And I'm not wrong. Her personal butler, Alistair, ushers us into the gold receiving room in her private quarters. We gather there, me, Olivia, Henry, Fergus, and Bridget, and we wait. No matter how long I'm away, a month or a year, the Queen never changes. She looks exactly the same. It's a comforting and frightening thought that strikes me when she appears in the doorway. Grey hair perfectly coiffed, demure pink lipstick, a light green skirt, and jacket with a diamond and emerald brooch pinned to the lapel. And though she looks the same, she appears particularly unhappy at the moment. Her grey eyes are solid as they scan us, the colour of a concrete wall. She settles on Henry first, calling him forward. He bows. Your Majesty. She stares at him, taking him in, and for a moment her cold stare cracks.
Welcome home, my boy. You've been gone too long.
Yes, ma'am, he says softly, giving her a weary smile. She doesn't embrace him as some would expect. It's not her way. But she touches his shoulder, reaches up and pats his cheek, covers his hands with her own and squeezes. For a queen, that's a hug. She moves Henry to the side and steps closer to us, eyes landing on me expectantly. I bow and bring Olivia forward, holding her hand. Your Majesty, may I introduce my guest, Olivia Hammond. There's not a shred of doubt that she's already been informed of Olivia's presence. The Queen's eyes drag over her, from head to toe, the way someone would look at a shaggy, wet stray dog that showed up on their doorstep. I bristle, but hold back. If I react too strongly, it will only make things worse. Bridget and I explained the proper protocol to Olivia on the plane. She's nervous, I can tell, stiff and frozen, but she tries.
It's an honor to meet you, Queen Lenora.
Olivia bows her head, bends her knees and dips, then pops back up quickly. And my grandmother glares.
What was that?
Olivia glances back at me, unsure, then returns her attention to the Queen.
It was a curtsy.
One sharp, grey brow rises.
Was it? I thought perhaps you had gas.
That's the trouble with monarchs. People rarely have the balls to tell them when they're being fucking rude. And even if they do, the monarch doesn't have to give a shit.
She will not do,
my grandmother says, her gaze slithering to me. For Olivia's sake, I try to play off the comment. Don't worry. I'll show Olivia around, introduce her to everyone. she'll do just fine. And then I put an end to the shit show, taking Olivia's hand and putting myself between her and the Queen. Relief washes through me when Olivia smiles up at me, unscathed by the disapproving claws. It's been a long flight, Olivia. Go upstairs to your room and get settled. I already explained that decorum required Olivia to have her own bedroom, but I'm not concerned. I have my ways.
I'd like a private word with you, Prince Nicholas, my grandmother says.
I give her a scathing smirk. Just one? I thought for sure there'd be dozens. Fergus, I call. Take Olivia to Guthrie House, please. Put her in the white bedroom. And it's like the air freezes in place, crystallizing with tension.
Oh, yes, my grandmother says softly. There will be many more than one.
I ignore her and pet Olivia's hair reassuringly. Go on now. I'll be along shortly. She nods, and then, because she is naturally polite, Olivia peeks around me and says to the Queen,
Thank you for having me here. You have a lovely home.
Henry lowers his chin to his chest, muffling a chuckle, and Fergus leads Olivia away. After Henry goes off to his own quarters, Bridget exits with a bow to my grandmother and me, and then we're left alone, in a staring contest. Surprisingly, she blinks first.
What are you playing at, Nicholas?
I'm not playing at all, Your Majesty. Her voice slices the air, bordering on shrill.
You have a duty. We agreed.
I'm well aware of my duty and our agreement. My tone is no less sharp, but respectful. You gave me 5 months. I have 3 left.
You should be spending that time reviewing the list I gave you, vetting the women who may one day take their place at your side, becoming familiar with.
I will spend the time I have left as I see fit. And I see fit to spend it with Olivia. Even when my parents died, I've never seen my grandmother lose her composure. And she doesn't entirely lose it now. But she's close.
I will not entertain one of your whores.
I take 2 steps closer to her, dropping my voice. Be very careful, grandmother.
Careful?
She says the word like it's foreign. A foreign, dirty word.
Are you warning me?
I won't have her insulted. Not by anyone. Even you. Our eyes clash like swords, throwing sparks. I can make life very difficult for you. I don't want to do that, but understand. I will if you do not treat her with the respect I'm telling you she deserves. And with that, I release a breath and turn to leave the room. Behind me, the Queen asks softly,
What in the world has gotten into you, Nicholas?
It's a decent question. I'm not feeling at all like myself lately. My arms rise at my sides, a helpless shrug. The beginning of the end has gotten into me. With a curt bow, I excuse myself and walk away. I find Olivia in the white bedroom, standing in the middle of the room, turning slowly, gazing at the walls and curtains and furniture. I try to imagine how it looks to her. The drapes are a gauzy opal, light enough to lift on a breeze from the floor-to-ceiling windows. The dresser, vanity and 4-poster bed shine in the light of the crystal chandelier with an almost silvery sheen. The wallpaper is soft white with a ribbon of satin overlay, and the antique artwork on the walls is framed in bleached wood. She startles a bit when she catches me watching her.
Jesus, you're like a ninja. Give a girl some warning, will you?
I knew she'd look beautiful in this room, that the colour palette would accentuate all her exquisite features. But she's even more stunning than I imagined, stealing my breath. Her wavy hair is an even deeper, shimmery black. Her eyes are darker blue, shining at me like two sapphires on a bed of velvet. "Do you like it?" I finally managed to ask. "The room." Her gaze climbs up and all around.
"I love it. It's magical."
I walk in closer.
"So, did you get reprimanded?"
she asks, only half joking.
"Your grandmother sounded just like my mom used to, when she was waiting for our friends to leave so she could yell at us."
I shrug. "I survived."
"What's the deal with the white bedroom?" When you said it, her face turned so hard I thought it'd crack.
I wander over toward the window, leaning on the sill. "It was my mother's. No one stayed in here since her."
"Oh."
And I hear the way my words must sound. "But don't take that in a creepy Norman Bates, mummy issues kind of way. It's just... it's the prettiest room in the palace. It suits you." Olivia nibbles at her bottom lip.
"But your grandmother's not happy about that, is she? Is that why I'm here, Nicholas? Am I a big fuck you to the Queen?"
"No." I wrap one arm around her waist, melding our bodies together. My other hand delves into her hair, holding it with my fingers, tilting her face up to look at me. "No. I want you here because I want you. And I'd still want you here even if my grandmother was thrilled about it."
"She doesn't like me."
I've never blown smoke up Olivia's ass. I have more entertaining ideas for that particular body part. And I'm not about to start now. She doesn't like anyone. Most days she doesn't even like me. That gets a smile out of her. I step backwards, leading Olivia by her hands. "This room is magical in other ways, you know." I turn around to the bookshelf along the wall behind me. I give the corner a tug and swing it open to reveal the passageway. "Look." Olivia's eyes go round and excited, like a child on Christmas morning, first glimpsing the presents under the tree.
"It's a secret passage."
She ducks her head inside, flicking the light switch there, illuminating the 30-foot corridor leading to the closed door on the other end.
"That's so awesome. I didn't know palaces really had these."
Her joy makes me laugh, makes my chest feel light. "They do, and this one leads to an even more magical place." I wink. "My bedroom." She laughs and bites her lip.
"Did you install it? Your parents?"
"Oh, no. It's been here long before us. Most likely so visiting dignitaries or princes could have their wicked way with a mistress without giving the staff something to gossip about."
"So cool. It's just like in Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone."
Olivia sighs, glancing at the passage again. "There's one more thing I want to show you." I lead her by the hand to the curtained balcony doors. "Besides the obvious benefits of the passage, I wanted you in this room." I open the doors, and Olivia gasps. "Because it has the best fucking view ever." Her mouth goes slack as she stares out over the rear of the property, which resembles the utopian landscape of a fairy wonderland. The stone paths lit every few feet by thousands of hanging lanterns, the fountains, the mazes of greenery, the abundance of flowers of every shape and size, cherry blossoms and roses and tulips, so large they hang over like colourful bells. In the distance is the pond, shining in the moonlight like a bath of liquid silver. I stare at her stunned expression. "Not too shabby, huh?"
"It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen."
I don't take my eyes off Olivia's face.
"Me too."
She turns toward me, reaches up slowly, and we kiss. The touch of Olivia's mouth is soft and supple and tastes like homecoming. Inhaling, I leaned down to deepen the kiss, until...
Christ! You two are like piranhas constantly eating each other's faces. Can you detach for